let's plunge right into this. Number one, can I do something to lose my salvation? Can I do something to lose my salvation? Well, what does the Bible say? Turn to John chapter 6. Everybody find it? John chapter 6. Can I do something to lose my salvation? John chapter 6. We're looking at what the Bible says about eternal security. Once in Christ, always in Christ. Yes, it's true. Once saved, always saved. Do you believe in the perseverance of the believer? No, I believe in the perseverance of God's love. And so let's look at this. John chapter 6, and look at verse 37. It says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Take your pens, underline that, no wise. You know what that means? Ain't going to happen. All right? That's what he's saying. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to cast you out. No matter what, I will not cast you out. So from this we learn, number one, can I do something to lose my salvation? Number one, God will not cast you out of his family under any circumstances. No wise, he says. God will not cast you out of his family under any circumstances. Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus in this chapter has explained that he is the door. By him must everyone enter in. Then he said this to them. He said, "But you believe not because you're not of my sheep. And as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice." This is verse 27, John chapter 10. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Take your pen, circle the word give. How do you get this eternal life? Talk to me. It's given to you. It's a gift. It's not something you earn. It's not something you work for. Not something you deserve. Not something you obtain by certain behaviors or by reaching certain goals or subscribing to certain creeds. It's a gift from God. "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Next verse, "My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Notice he tells us that Satan cannot harm their souls or take away their eternal life with God. He's talking about everlasting eternal safety. So from this we learn, number two, no man can cause you to lose your salvation because God is greater than any man. No one can cause you to lose your salvation because God is greater than any man. But number two, can I do something to lose my salvation? Can I do something? Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Everybody find it? Rustle the pages of the Bible. Ephesians chapter 2. Good to have our son Russell and Christy. And we've got Savannah and Julian and Adriana with us this week. This is their wedding anniversary, so they've been out running around. And Mama and I have been, we've been babysitting this week. So we've been having us a good time. And while I think Mama and Savannah went on a shopping spree this afternoon, well, we had Julian and Adriana, and we also had Gavin and Lexi, and we made a big trip down to the
Walmart.
Yeah, Dairy Queen, yeah. Dairy Queen. So we spent some time at Dairy Queen this afternoon, and so we've had a great time with them, and glad they're here with us tonight. But look at what it tells us now. You're in Ephesians chapter 2, And look at verses 8 and 9. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Notice it tells us, it says that salvation again is a gift. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves." It's not you. It's not because you're so good. It's not because that you're such a blessing. It's not because you've just always been this wonderful person. It's not because you've quit this and started doing that. It's not because you've started coming to church and now you drive a bus and you sing in the choir and do all of these wonderful things. None of those things will get you into heaven. Do you know you could not do enough good things to get in heaven? Salvation is by the grace of God. God's grace. God giving us something that we do not deserve. That's God's grace. God's mercy is that when He doesn't give us what we do deserve. Amen? And so He tells us here that by grace are you saved. You're saved by God's grace, not your works, not your spirituality, not because you're better than anybody else, not because you're a Baptist or a Nazarene. You're saved by the grace of God through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's not you. Say that with me. It's not me. Say it. It's not me. All right? He says, it is the gift of God. And He says in this, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. If it were something that we could obtain by our works, if it was something that we, by our dedication, by our depths of our research, if we could somehow bring this about, then we could get to heaven and we could brag about ourselves, couldn't we? We could talk about, boy, it was hard, but I persevered and I reached down and I pulled through. But that's not what it's about. The Bible teaches us, no, it teaches us that it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So from this we learn, number one, salvation is a gift. Amen? Salvation is a gift. It is a gift from God. No man can lose his salvation because no man earned his salvation. You didn't get it. If God trusted you with any part of it, you'd mess it up. You realize that? You'd mess it up. And if you believed in reincarnation, when you come back again, you'd mess it up again. We are sinners through and through. If it were up to us, we'd all be in trouble. We don't lose it because it wasn't up to us that we got it. It was a gift of God. All right? No man has earned his salvation of his own doing. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. But can I do something to lose my salvation? Well, what does the Bible say? Look at Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things. Anybody in here think you got that down? Have you continued in all things? You know, we like to pick and choose, don't we? Yeah, we'll pick out the things that we're good at, and we like to really champion those things. We like to talk about those things. We like to look across the aisle and find a person in the pew near us who hasn't accomplished what we have in that area. We like to look through our forest and pick out our tall trees and compare it to our neighbor's short trees. It makes us feel good. But the Bible doesn't give you that privilege of picking and choosing. If you're going to go that route, it tells us, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. I'm saying, folks, that none of us can make it on our own because we would have to be perfect, wouldn't we? Turn to James chapter 2. Book of James chapter 2. Everybody find it. James chapter 2. Can I do something to lose my salvation? Salvation is a gift. A gift is something you receive. It reflects on the giver. Salvation is not something as a gift that you can earn. It is something that is given to you. But notice what he tells us. James chapter 2, and look at verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. So if you've ever sinned one time, guess what? You are a condemned sinner. You're guilty of it all. All right? So from this we learn then that number two, if we had to do anything to earn our salvation, we would surely lose it. If we had to do anything, we would surely lose it because we would have to keep it all. If we offend in one area, we are guilty of it all. Everybody is a sinner. All right? That's called the universal depravity of man. It means that every human being is a sinner. We are born sinners. The Bible says we come forth from our mother's womb speaking lies. It's inherited sin. But not only do we inherit a sin nature, but as soon as we get chances to make choices, we make choices of sin. It's in all of us. It's in the very best of us. And there's only been one who is sinless, of course, the Lord Jesus. So if we had to do anything to earn our salvation, we would surely lose it. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to just quickly move through this first section, and we'll pick up on number 3 next week. But 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 12, 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. He says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. He said, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He entrusted God to guard his own soul. He said, I know who it is. I know who I have committed to. And he said, I am persuaded. That means that he has faith, doesn't it? Faith means that you have chosen to believe. Faith does not mean you have no doubts. Faith means you choose to base your life on your beliefs instead of your disbeliefs. He said, I know. Because I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. So from this we learn, number 3, Paul assures us that we are kept by Jesus Christ, not ourselves. He said, I know who is able to keep that which I have committed. When you give something, you take something down to the banker, and you place that in the banker's hand, you're trusting the bank to keep it. He's saying here that I've placed my faith in Jesus Christ. He said, I'm trusting Christ. I know who it is I have committed my life to, and I am trusting him to save me. All right? Now, turn to Jude, verse 24. You say, well, preacher, I believe Jude, verse 24. I know that Jesus will save us. I know that it's not anything to do with me. But what if I choose to go out and sin? Can I, by doing that, disallow that experience? Does that remove me from Christ if I choose to go into a life of sin? I know that God's not going to throw me out. But what if I choose to go that direction? That's what scares me. I'm afraid that maybe I'm not ready to trust Christ yet because I'm afraid I can't hold out. Do you know that nobody can hold out? Do you know that you weren't without sin when you came to Christ? When you came to Christ, you were in sin. If He accepted you, within sin, why would he throw you away from him? Because there's still sin in your life. The Bible teaches us, look in Jude and look at verse 24. He says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." Isn't that a great thought? Keep you from falling and present you faultless. Now, how in the world does God present us faultless? It's called substitutionary atonement. It means that we receive a righteousness that has been imputed to our account. God takes our righteousness, which is got a lot of holes in it, to say the least. Amen. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. So, but God takes the righteousness of His Son. He takes the righteousness of Jesus. And He clothes us in that righteousness. And when you are clothed in the righteousness of His Son, when He imputes to your account the sinless nature of His Son, though you are undeserving and I am undeserving, and though we have never reached the state of sanctification in the sense that we are sinless, we are sanctified, we're set apart, we are progressively sanctified as we work on our salvation, as we grow better and better in Christ, as we work harder and harder. But none of that has anything to do with our standing. Our standing is given to us by God. He gives to us a righteousness that is not our own. And so when we stand before Him, guess what? We are faultless. Because the Father does not see our righteousness. He sees this righteousness that has been imputed to us. And that's why it tells us, John says, don't sin. My little brother, he said, I'll write unto you that you sin not. He said, please don't sin. Because every sin carries a consequence. We talked about this last Wednesday night. Every sin has a consequence in this life. He said, don't do it. It's going to hurt you. You're going to wish you had not. Don't do it. But he said, I want you to know that if and when you do, because he understands that we're all going to fall short. When you do, don't give up. Don't feel like hanging up the phone. Because he said, we have an advocate with the Father. We have someone who stands by our side. And he said, he is the propitiation. He is the covering. That's that granted righteousness. Amen. He is the covering that we receive. So from this we learn, number four, God is able to keep us from falling. What are you worried about? What are you worried about? He is the one that draws us. He is the one that saves us. The Bible tells us that it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. God gives you the will. And He gives you the ability to do. And when you fall short, His grace covers that. And then He gives you a righteousness that it will never be yours, that you can stand before the Father at that wedding supper of the Lamb. Amen? So, God is able to keep us from falling. Look at Galatians chapter 2. But can I do something to lose my salvation? We said, number one, salvation is a gift from God. No man has earned it. Number two, we said, if we had to do anything to earn our salvation, we would surely lose it. Number three, Paul assures us that we're kept by Jesus Christ, not ourselves. Number four, God is able to keep us from falling. Look at Galatians chapter 2 and notice what he says. Galatians chapter 2 and look at verse 21. He said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. From this we learn, if we could become righteous by anything else that we could do, then Jesus' death was a waste. If there were any other way, then Jesus died in vain. I want you to bow your head tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed. We'll stop there and pick up next Wednesday night.